So now we'll go back to side two, and this is side two of broadcast number 609, August the 8th, 1983. I might mention that I talked to Bob Fass in New York. We used to have weekly broadcasts, and I mentioned it maybe before I came on here with the talk show, but I wanted on the World Watchers tape. We did about 3 years of broadcasts with New York, and I met marvelous people in New York doing the program, and there was pressure on the station to take Bob off. He was fired, and I was taken off. I mean, real quickly. They wouldn't say where we were or what we were doing. And in the years, the news has gotten worse and worse, and people remembered the things that we had been saying and trying to explain and expose. And finally, I talked to Bob this week, so we're going to begin the World Watchers in New York City in Manhattan. They've moved from 62nd Street to, I think, 34th Street. So I'll do a one-half-hour tape, a summary of what we do here on World Watchers for New York, or we'll do a live show probably starting tomorrow, a half hour of live broadcasting, and then questions from New York City to California. There's some live, interesting people out there with great questions who are concerned, so I'm looking forward to that. And, of course, I talked to Paul Krasner, who published my first stories. A lot of years have gone by, but it seems like yesterday to me, and a lot of water under the bridge, but when you're working for a project and you hang in there in some way or other, you get together and stay together and have that tenacity. Things do come together and you can continue your project, even though some stop for a while. But the struggle was constant, and we'll all be working on these things together. Now, there was a story in Rolling Stone. You might have seen it. It came out in March of 1983 of John DeLorean, and he claimed that he was being framed. And the Rolling Stone article by a fellow named Latham, L-A-T-H-A-M, Aaron Latham. And there's a quotation in there I want to mention briefly, and I can do more on that article later. According to the Rolling Stone, DeLorean said that he wanted to withdraw from the drug sting that he was getting caught into. And James Timothy Hoffman, 41 years old, said to him in quotes, "Look at," and there's a profanity, "you're in this too far now. You know all the players. You know the bank, you know this and that, and you, profanity, around, and your kids are going to get killed. It's going to be a bloody mess. You know the bank," and I don't know if it was the Eureka Federal that he was talking about, because he had contacts with bank more important than the Eureka Federal in Palo Alto. Now, another story apropos of the bank, and before I get to it, Wall Street Journal, April the 4th, 1983, "Ties to alleged mobster caused bank troubles." And that's the bank I was saying that was in the news today, of Johnny Carson and his friend Mr. Bushkin. And this story says that 2 years ago, a bank partially owned by entertainer Johnny Carson and his attorney gave a party for one of their best customers, Jack M. Catane Jr., now under federal indictment for dealing in counterfeit $1,500 and $100 bills, was the subject of a report linking him to Chicago and Philadelphia organized crime. He resigned as chairman of Rusco Industries, RUSCO, in 1980 as part of a consent from the Security Exchange Commission because of diverting corporate funds illegally to benefit himself and others. The Commercial Bank of California loaned Mr. Catane a sum totaling at least $370,000. It could be a million. It's at least $370,000. They gave a party for him. He had set up $700,000 on deposit for this small, closely held bank at various times. He brought in friends and business associates as new borrowers. He guaranteed them loans on a lien of a $1 million home in Encino. At one time when they wanted some money back and there was a loan on the house burned down in 1981 and they were left with this empty lot. At the time that Mr. Carson and his attorney, Henry I. Bushkin, were listed as co-chairman of the bank. Together, they owned 23.7% of the bank stock. And they got in trouble with overdue balances and loans and bad loan problems. And the California Banking Department shows that a major part of the bad loans in 1982, it wrote off $2.5 million in loan losses. Now, we don't know who the payoffs are. I'm very suspicious of the John Belushi murder, of various things that happened in Hollywood and the network around these people. And those jobs, I don't say that this money went for that job, but those jobs cost money. And here's a bank that we'll talk about where there's 2.5 million that's out, just like Michael Sindona, 45 million in the Franklin National Bank. Now, this Encino home burned to the ground at the time that they were going to get defaulted loans on his property. In 1978, the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal linked this fellow, these alleged crimes of Mr. Catain, an organized crime figure. So Johnny Carson and his attorney, Mr. Henry Bushkin, could have checked out the New York Times and Wall Street Journal if they wanted to. And he was charged with transferring illegal funds between Catain and Angelo Bruno, chief of the Philadelphia Mafia, who was shot in death in 1980. Now, that's interesting because the Angelo Bruno death happened at the time that Dr. Tarnower was murdered by Gene Harris, and both of them I had done extensive programs on and believed they were bag people for the CIA, and that the drug traffic, a lot of it, came out of his hometown, and that they knew a lot more about worldly events. They'd been in the Soviet Union together just a short time before Lee Harvey Oswald went there as an agent, and they traveled to Africa and all over the world. And she worked for the CIA in the Madera School down in Washington, D.C. They were heavily involved in a lot of scandals and mob activity, particularly her 2 years in Madison Square Garden before she went to the Madera Private School. A very interesting person. But when Angela Bruno was murdered in Philadelphia, I knew it entangled a lot of high-up political people. And it turns out that Mr. Jack Catain was linked to Angelo Bruno, who died in 1980, and yet this bank is formed in 1980, and he's part of Rusco Industries with Johnny Carson and John DeLorean, and is under investigation, and he joins this bank and is giving his home as part of the loans, and people can go through the bank and get money, and he was the character, one of the characters tied to the bank. We don't know where the other loans went. Now, this is one of the things I like to do, is to take a complicated story and chart it out for you. And as I say, if you don't understand the names and I rattle them off, you'll get the tone of the story and as best we can in this remaining time. And if you want a chart of it, you can write to me at Box 22511, May Bressel, Carmel 93922. Self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send you the chart of the broadcast this evening with the sources. Now, in essence, this involves Johnny Carson, Henry Bushkin, John DeLorean, Jack Catain of the mob, and Robert Duran, one of the most notorious organized crime figures in all of Hollywood or the Western world. And I'll run through the banks and the companies and show how they overlap and how Carson's bank overlaps with these people and Mr. Bushkin, and do the best I can. The Los Angeles Bank, it's in Beverly Hills, the Commercial Bank of California, that was quickly closed just at the time of Roberta Calvi's death and the P2 scandal in Italy, was founded by Johnny Carson and Henry Bushkin, Carson's personal attorney. This is from the Los Angeles Herald, June the 30th, 1980, a long story which I outline for you. I'm giving you the high points of the story. The bank was used to make deposits and to transfer funds in violation of federal law of laundering money. Money was put into the bank and not recorded as a deposit, and it was taken out to the Cayman Offshore Islands and not recorded as going out of there. Bushkin, and Carson's attorney and founder of the bank, was a former director of DeLorean Motor. Now, as soon as somebody is arrested, everybody's a former member. Keep in mind, it's a former bank and a former member. But until all this broke, they were pretty cozy. Now, the bank, he was part of this John DeLorean Motor Company, and he forms a bank with Johnny Carson. There was a company called TMX Systems. It had to do with locks, lock systems on cars, I suppose, or TMX Systems. There were two companies, TMX and TMX Systems, just like Mark Rich makes his two different companies with the same names. It tries to say they're different people and the same people. TMX Systems is a company that was owned in part by John DeLorean and Mr. Bushkin, Carson's attorney, where they made illegal deposits and transferred funds to the Commercial Bank of California since 1978 and violated laws to prevent money laundering. That's what they were doing with TMX System. The Commercial Bank had missing money, and the common denominator in the bank was John DeLorean, the money laundering going through the Commercial Bank, and it was forced to close in April of 1983. DeLorean was arrested in October of 82. The FDIC closed it because of hundreds of thousands in bad loans. Now, it's certain customers who were known to have affiliations with organized crime were brought to the bank by Mr. Bushkin, a partner of DeLorean Motor, and Jack Catane of organized crime and the allegations of the Angelo Bruno. You get that background. Okay. The commercial bank with Carson and Bushkin made loans of, it says, at least 42. Again, it doesn't say how much. To a subsidiary of TMX. There was TMX, and then there was TMX subsidiary, which is partly owned by DeLorean. And Bushkin was director of the commercial bank, and he was secretary treasurer of TMX as a partner of John DeLorean, so and the attorney for Johnny Carson. He has an office in Century City. So Bushkin is the common denominator between DeLorean and TMX and with Johnny Carson and the bank. Now, Bushkin and DeLorean Motors with Jack Canteen had extensive dealings. The cover was auto alarm systems made through their company and its subsidiaries, and TMX Systems and TMX Corporation. That's the way they were supposed to, they were called. And TMX made deposits and transferred funds without the bank reporting the deposits or transferring them without any regulation according to the regulations of banking. And the lawsuit of the two men that I mentioned have the suit against this claim that Bushkin failed to disclose his relationship with various companies that used the bank when the bank was formed. He didn't tell them about his contacts with DeLorean, and one loan was made to a corporation which was guaranteed by Bushkin, and he didn't say that it involved DeLorean Motor, Jack Catane of the crime syndicate, and one or more who owned TMX. He was a director on the bank. He didn't mention his contacts with the companies who took money out of the bank, and he didn't mention their backgrounds, which anybody, we're not talking about a bunch of virgins in Hollywood. You know darn well that they knew what was going on. Now, Jack Catane had a part with the DeLorean Motor and controlled it for unlawful purposes. He set up a corporation, the TMX, and then another fellow named Duran, Robert Duran, a crime figure who's involved with the John DeLorean case, was a part of this operation. Duran was an admitted cocaine trafficker with corporate connections with DeLorean, Johnny Carson, and Bushkin, and he set up a company called Radkin, R-A-D-K-I-N, Estates Corporation. It was owned by Robert Duran to make deposits to transfer to the commercial bank, that's Carson's bank, and Bushkin, who's a partner of DeLorean. It was formed to make legitimized millions of dollars of drug traffic profits. The Radkin Estate Corporation was a front, and Henry Bushkin, the partner of DeLorean and the lawyer for Johnny Carson, was the co-founder of Radkin Estate Corporation. And some of this I'll repeat so it gets clear to you, that the attorney for Johnny Carson, who owns a corporation with John DeLorean, forms another corporation, Radkin Estates. So you have the Commercial Bank of California sending money out that isn't in the deposit books to offshore islands. You have two companies, the TMX and two different titles, TMX Incorporated and TMX Systems, with hanky-panky under the cover of auto alarms, and then Radkin Estates, which is multi-million dollar funding of drug traffic with Henry Bushkin as part of, he was the registered agent for the Radkin Estate Corporation. So he knew perfectly well what was going on, and as I say, these are not babies into this business. Now, the commercial bank was missing money, and there was a lawsuit by Michael Miller, I mentioned him, and Arnold Culpelson, that the bank was used for racketeering practices. Now, this is the racketeering case that was dropped. This article was in June, and it was dropped in August, but it's still alive. They were accused of racketeering processes, and the interrogatories on the trial before it got started claimed that Catane and crime figures were allowed to make deposits in the bank and then transfer them out of the bank without the bank reporting the deposits or without the bank reports to federal regulatory authorities. And TMX made these transfer funds without the appropriate information. Now, the lawsuit says that Mr. Bushkin failed to disclose, as I said, his business with these companies, And the lawsuit describes what they say in quotes as a complicated series of financial transactions and accusations of self-dealing loans by the commercial bank to bank directors violating the bank regulations. This is in the lawsuit. The lawsuit says that Radkin Estates was founded by drug trafficker Durand, and I'll do more on the program next week just on Durand, who was allowed to deposit and transfer and not report hundreds of millions of dollars of laundering. He's a multi-million dollar cocaine king. And remember, the cocaine king down for our country is down in Bolivia, Klaus Barbie and Mr. Gomez. He was involved in admitted multi-million dollar cocaine and formed Radkin for drug traffic and put it into real estate in Malibu. Now, Henry Bushkin, this is Johnny Carson's attorney, as I said, was the registered agent for Radkin. Durand was a law client of Henry Bushkin's, as well as Johnny Carson's, into this multi-million dollar cocaine. Henry Bushkin is also a director, was a director of DeLorean Motor Company, and Bushkin is the banking partner of Johnny Carson. So he is the registered agent for the skimming of multi-million, not little bit. And the Robert Durand is the biggest, one of the biggest cookies of the drug traffic of the whole Hollywood industry. So Bushkin is a registered agent for that corporation. Durand is a client of his at Century City. He's the one of the directors he was of DeLorean Motor, and he ran the bank with Johnny Carson. Now, the role in the DeLorean arrest, in piecing this together, the role of Durand in DeLorean case was that in 1980, Durand was the target of an investigation by the Drug Enforcement Agency. In 1979, the Vatican and Milan, not Vatican, began to get embroiled into the missing money, the tax money out of Italy and the scandals in Europe. And I'll make those connections to Europe in the next week or two to this particular case. But in 1980, the DEA was beginning to investigate Durand, who had been making sacks of money going back and forth to the offshore islands. This is after Watergate, after Richard Nixon's out of office, and people with the Church Committee and the congressional investigations, people are getting a little smarter and looking into the Castle Island, the offshore islands, and Durand was going to be the target of investigation. So he became an informer, which is something he does well, in return for immunity from prosecution and from his multi-million dollar drug traffic that he can enjoy. So in his briefings with the Drug Enforcement Agency, he fingered two people, William Morgan Hetrick of Mojave Aircraft and James Timothy Hoffman, a drug trafficker. Now, Hetrick is one of the best-known drug traffickers going back and forth to South America, and he's the fellow who allegedly, I was told, was the one who drove John DeLorean down there for the cocaine and deal with Barbie. Now, he turned in. Durand didn't want to be arrested, so he fingered Morgan, Hetrick, and Hoffman. And Hoffman just conveniently had an estate in San Diego that backed up to John DeLorean, but Christina Ferrari DeLorean's wife had known Hetrick for over 10 years and was part of the crowd. I'll do more about those contacts about John DeLorean and his wife going back 10 years. All of this just didn't happen because a car company was falling apart. So Hoffman was fingered by Durand as well as Hetrick. And in 1981, Hoffman was arrested by the Drug Enforcement Agency with his cocaine longtime dealer. And to get off his back, Hoffman became a government witness to help investigate William Hetrick. They had worked together for years in all kinds of flight investigations and testified against each other. They had been caught and released over and over again. But Durand was wanted by the DEA, and he fingered Morgan and Morgan Hetrick and Hoffman. And then Hoffman says, okay, I'll get Hetrick because he's into this big deal with John DeLorean. So Hoffman lured DeLorean, as the story goes, into the cocaine deal, and Hoffman introduced DeLorean to his long friend Hetrick, but Christina DeLorean knew Hetrick for over 10 years. October 19, 1982, Hetrick and DeLorean were arrested with $24 million in cocaine. Now, Durand, this Mr. Robert Durand, was an associate, long associate of John DeLorean and Mr. Bushkin and Johnny Carson and their banks, got arrested in 1980. He offers to inform and cause Hoffman's arrest. Hoffman now lives next door to DeLorean in San Diego. Hoffman, in turn, offers to bring Hetrick and DeLorean if he can get off. And so, and here is the interesting story about this bank and the connections. DeLorean has a car company now, and Henry Bushkin is a director of DeLorean Automobile. But he's also the director of Robert Durant Association in Malibu. And they use Carson and Bushkin's bank for narcotic deposits and transfer and offshore money. And Bushkin is the partner of Johnny Carson, and they use mob figures. And Carson has put $50,000 into John DeLorean's car company. So obviously, Mr. Durant and Bushkin and Carson really wouldn't want DeLorean caught or fingered because they all have some connections to John DeLorean, and it would come too close to them, except that the California bank had to close. It was losing money. It had questionable deposits and maybe some of the DeLorean money because Mr. Bushkin is part of the DeLorean Motor Company and Johnny Carson's put money into DeLorean. So when it falls through and other investigations might take place with the bank, they have to, with a question mark, sacrifice John DeLorean, who came out here from General Motors, who's been on the fringe of hanky bank business for a long time. They have to protect Robert Durant, the number one probably dealer in Los Angeles. They have to protect they can sacrifice Mr. Hetrick, but he's pleaded guilty. And they have to protect him because, according to what I heard, he says, I'll plead and turn on DeLorean if plead guilty if my sons don't get involved. Now, I've asked these various parties to check out the sons and see if, in fact, they were flying with them. So TMX, that one corporation I mentioned, was giving you the background of the mob connections to that, was originally sold by Henry Bushkin, the attorney for these various people, and a man named Nathan Sassover, S-A-S-S-O-V-E-R. And he employed Jack Catane, again, this crime figure with the Angelo Bruno background and, goodness knows, coast-to-coast crime figure. And then they turned over this corporation, RUSCO, a Westwood firm that was run by Catane, the mob figure. And then Rusco was sold for $450,000 to a group of investors, including Northern Ireland Development Agency for the DeLorean Car Company. I hope this isn't too complicated for you because getting back to these corporations, there was TMX Incorporated, TMX Systems, and TMX Marketing Corporation. And it originally was with Nathan Sassover and Jack Catane of organized crime with a long list of forging and crime problems. He's been arrested now, Jack Catane. And they turned this over and parlayed it because a Securities Exchange Commission was on it, and sold it to a group. Now, we don't know who the group of investors are, whether it was a coming out of Klaus Barbie out of Bolivia. One of the things that John DeLorean did, and I'll share those articles with you in the weeks to come, is he allegedly was offering 100% of the car company to the crime syndicate for something like $50 million. So where was the $50 million then going to go? What would he do with the car company, have the name DeLorean, as many corporations or movie studios do today, but belong to those faceless people that are described in the book The Circle, the mob syndicate, the military, the drug traffickers, and the Defense Department agents. So Rusco, RUSCO, headed by Nathan Sassover and Jack Catane, was sold to a group of investors, including the Northern Ireland Development Company, for DeLorean's car. And then Henry Bushkin, at the time of the sale of TMX, that became part of DeLorean in Ireland, was also a director of the DeLorean Motor Company. Now, as I say, unless you get a chart of this, you may wonder, you know, about these names. But this bank was formed in 1978 by Mr. Bushkin and Johnny Carson, and it was used for offshore money of mob figures. They entertained Jack Catane, who was very much part of a company that later was owned by John DeLorean Motor, the common denominator, the attorney Bushkin being for both and on the board of DeLorean. And also Robert Durant was involved with the bank and with the organized crime cocaine traffic through South America, Bolivia, Colombia, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and pumping it into Hollywood. This is the Hollywood mainly connection, I suppose. And New York has its own turf. I'm sure that's why Roy Radin was murdered in Hollywood. When he tries to hit this turf, he's out of his element. Well, these people are tied in to these banks, to offshore banking, to John DeLorean. So when he is seen coming to court clasping his Bible with a sad face that he was trapped, you can believe that there is a much bigger story and that Johnny Carson, too, will fall in some place into the story as it evolves. Now, there's another story, Bond for Man in DeLorean Case Cut. This is Mr. Hetrick. And he made, according, this is the Los Angeles Times, Hetrick had made literally millions of narcotic-generated dollars. He's put them in bank accounts at the Grand Cayman Islands. His company, Morgan Aviation, is listed as his corporate tax return, 100% owned by the Cayman Corporation, known as MBM Enterprises. He has excess of $1 million proceeds. He wires and transfers all the time to the Cayman Islands. As a matter of fact, he was worried when he was arrested on how to invest the interest on the money that he has in the banks down there in the offshore banking. But then you get people like Johnny Carson and Mr. Bushkin traveling with this kind of traffic, opening a bank, and the reason it did collapse is because of the Italian bank scandals and the traffic, drug traffic scandals that evolved as the Italian government closed in on Michael Sindona and Licio Gelli and Roberta Calvi. Another story last December, in the December the 10th, judge appoints auditor to check DeLorean books. Now, he was arrested in October, and in November and December and January, February, March, April, May, they're still looking for that missing money. That's why it was so interesting for me to call the Justice Department in Detroit, Michigan, the U.S. attorney, and have a long conversation with them, which they very seldom did before, and they were receptive, and to describe the Utah firm where money allegedly went out, and is that $17 million in the account of John DeLorean identifiable? Did it come from Bolivia, from Klaus Barbie? And, of course, they can begin going again into the Carson-Bushkin bank connections. Briefly, one story. We got one more minute. A story in November when he was a first arrested on John DeLorean. DeLorean and former reported to have lied in an earlier case. And this has to do with Mr. Hoffman and Mr. Hetrick. They've been friends going back 10 years in litigation. And in 1979, they were accusing each other of various scandals and drug deals and kickbacks. I wonder why in the heck the government doesn't just pull these people in. Well, that's a stupid question. They don't. They let these multi-million dollar dealers continue to flood this country with narcotics that goes down to the fiancés of death down in Bolivia and the death squads in Argentina and Chile and Brazil. And all that drug money is being used for killing and for Gestapo and armbands. And these guys that are pulled in are involved with hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of identifiable banks. And there's nothing the Justice Department tries to do. They get a big one and he fingers another one and they let the two off and they finger a third one. And then finally they get DeLorean and they say, well, let's bring him in. He doesn't like General Motors. So the bottom of the line is DeLorean, and he's the one who's going to take the rap, and he hasn't any leg to stand on, I don't think, because he's kept some pretty bad company. Well, our time is up. This is another hour. It's 9 o'clock, and it's Mae Brussel on KAZU-FM. So you take care, and I'll be back with you next week to continue some more on the saga of John DeLorean and the drug trafficking.